We're continuing our series this morning on prayer in the Old Testament, and I've got the delightful job of talking about God and Job. I've really enjoyed preparing this, and I hope you'll get as much enjoyment from it. And challenge. When I was young, we used to have this little plaque, something like it, in our home. God is the head of this house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. And I thought it was put there deliberately by my parents to keep me in order. In that, hey Vic, do you know God's listening to you? Don't you be rude to me, God's listening. That's what I thought it was about. But actually it isn't, is it? It's about a statement of faith that God is everywhere. And as we look at this prayer and conversation between God and Job, we will notice that God's been listening, and he's been listening quite clearly. Is it well with your soul? All sorts of people are going through all sorts of trouble right now. If you're not going through trouble at this moment, great. These people need your prayers. But all sorts of people are going through trouble, from Kathmandu to Shepparton. Lord Jesus, we pray, would you help us this morning? Help us to hear you. Help us to relax in your presence. Holy Spirit, we pray, would you give us peace? Would you give us peace? Amen. Job and his friends had a problem. And their problem was this. They thought, if you're good, God looks after you. If you're bad, then you watch out for yourself. And so when trouble hit Job and he lost all his possessions, he lost all his family, and then he got a dreadful disease, dreadful skin complaint. And he was saying, hey, this isn't just. This isn't just. I'm a good bloke. I've always worshipped you, Lord. Why has this happened to me? And his three friends thought the same sort of thing, but coming from the other end. They were saying, if you were really good, these things wouldn't have happened to you. If you were really good, God wouldn't be on your case throwing all these things at you right now. See, both of them were saying similar things, but they were from the other end of the spectrum. So they were saying to Job, come on, Job, there's something hidden in your life. You need to bring it out and confess it. Listen, if there's stuff in our lives that need confessing, we need to confess it. But in Job's case, that wasn't so. He was a righteous man. But he came upon these terrible difficulties. And I've got three things that I want to leave with us this morning. The first one comes from the scripture. But let's read the scriptures in a minute. We've got three things. First of all, that God speaks, and then God reasons, and then God waits. Now, I'm going to read from a paraphrase this morning, Peterson's paraphrase. You know what the difference is between a translation of the Bible and a paraphrase? Peterson got hold of the Bible and thought, I'll write this so that my kids can understand it. And so he thought, this is what this is, and he just sort of wrote it, and he made a very sort of easy way of reading it. But it's not an accurate translation. Okay, a paraphrase isn't an accurate translation, but it is a useful tool. And we're going to read lots of scripture. I'm going to read from chapter 38, almost to the end of Job. And I did have the page number down there. 538, if you've got a church Bible, and if you want to follow it. So this is the beginning of chapter 38. And now, finally, God answered Job from the eye of a violent storm. He said, why do you confuse the issue? Why do you talk without knowing what you're talking about? Pull yourself together, Job. Up on your feet. Stand tall. I have some questions for you, and I want some straight answers. Where were you when I created the earth? Tell me, since you know so much. Who decided on its size? Certainly you'll know that. Who came up with the blueprints and measurements? Who was its foundation? How was its foundation poured? And who set the cornerstone? While the morning stars sang in chorus and all the angels shouted praise. And who took charge of the ocean when it gushed forth like a baby from the womb? That was me. I wrapped it in soft clouds and tucked it in safety at night. Then I made it a playpen, a strong playpen, so it couldn't run loose, and said, stay here. This is your place. Your wild tantrums are confined to this place. And have you ever ordered morning, get up, and told dawn, get to work, so you could seize earth like a blanket and shake out the wicked like cockroaches? As the sun brings everything to light, brings out all the colors and shapes, the cover of darkness is snatched from the wicked. They're caught in the very act. And then on to verse 16. No, we're going to skip that. Verse 22. Have you ever traveled to where the snow is made? Seen the vault where hail is stockpiled? Verse 31. Can you catch the eye of the beautiful Pleiades sisters or distract Orion from his hunt? Can you get Venus to look your way or get the great bear and her cubs to come out to play? Do you know the first thing about the sky's constellations and how they affect things on earth? Chapter 40. God then confronted Job directly. Now, what do you have to say for yourself? Are you going to haul me, the mighty one, into court and press charges? And Job answered, I'm speechless in awe. Words fail me. I should never have opened my mouth. I've talked too much, way too much. I'm ready to shut up and listen. God addressed Job next from the eye of the storm, and this is what he said. I have some more questions for you, and I want straight answers. Do you presume to tell me what I'm doing wrong? Are you calling me a sinner so you can be a saint? Do you have an arm like my arm? Can you shout in thunder the way I can? Go ahead, show your stuff. Let's see what you're made of. what you can do. Unleash your outrage. And then down to chapter 42. Job answered God, "I'm convinced you can do anything and everything. Nothing and no one can upset your plans. You asked, 'Who is this muddying the water, ignorantly confusing the issue, second-guessing my purposes?' I admit it. I was the one. I babbled on about things far beyond me, made small talk about wonders way over my head. You told me, 'Listen and let me do the talking. Let me ask the questions. You give the answers.' I admit I once lived by rumors of you. Now I have it all firsthand from my own eyes and ears. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'll never do that again, I promise. I'll never again live on crusts of hearsay, crumbs of rumor." The first thing I want us to look at is that God speaks. God speaks. I wonder how you imagine all this having taken place. Doesn't tell us exactly, but we know God was listening. And I guess, as we had that scripture from Joe earlier, God put his arm around Job and said, "Hey, come walk with me. Let me talk to you. Let me talk to you." Do you remember Joe read about Jesus asking Peter three times? When Jesus was restoring Peter after he'd denied him. And here we've got a parallel situation with Job speaking about stuff he didn't know about. And I just imagine God saying, "Hey, Job, just you come for a walk with me. Let me talk to you. Let me talk to you." It's a bit of a dressing down, isn't it? But it's done in a fatherly way. All right, because that's how God deals with us. He doesn't deal with us as an angry school teacher or an offended police person. But here we have got God, a loving father, saying, "Job, come with me." All right? Now, all that's my imagination. It's not in the book. But it is in one sense there, because that is the character of God. The character of God is, "Hey, you're my child. Come with me." Now, this morning, we were led in that song about Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Or do you just know about him? I was brought up in a Christian family, and I knew a lot about Jesus. But on one night, I met Jesus. Listen, if you're here today and you only know about Jesus, please don't leave without finding out how you can know him. If you only know about him, that is not sufficient. It's good to know about him, but it is much better to actually know him, have a relationship with him, being able to call God your father, to be able to call Jesus your friend. Job here was a friend of God, and God was going to dress him down in the nicest way and yet help him to repent. Do you know what repentance is? Repentance isn't saying sorry. Lots of people think repentance is just saying sorry. No, it isn't. I learnt to say sorry very early on. I didn't mean it. I just learnt to say sorry because I knew that got me out of trouble. Lots of people think, I just need to say sorry to God. Actually, we do need to say sorry to God, but repentance isn't saying sorry to God. Repentance is saying, I was going my way, I'm now going to go your way. Repentance is turning around and saying, actually, it's not going to be my way anymore, it's going to be your way. So here we have God speaks. How does he speak? How does he speak? Well, first of all, he speaks through the Bible. God speaks through the Bible. Okay? It was written for our instruction. Every word was written there for our instruction, for our help. Let me ask you this question. Do you read a bit of the Bible at least 5 times a week? It's good to have breakfast every day. It's easy to think, I don't need to read the Bible today, or I'm too busy to read the Bible today. Please do not go down that way. We need to be built up in the faith, and we are built up in the faith by reading our Bibles and listening to God when we read it. We're not just reading it so that we can get from cover to cover. We're reading it because we want to hear God saying, silly fellow, don't do that. We want to hear God saying, have you thought about? What about? Think about it. We call ourselves evangelicals. That means we are Bible-believing people. Please, if you have slipped on Bible reading, do something about it. Talk to someone and say, will you hold me accountable? It may be that you've never ever started on a regular plan of Bible reading. Today is a good day to start. Reading a little bit every, not just your favorite bits, but also the bits that are challenging. So the first way God speaks is through the Bible. The second way he speaks is through other people. Are you hearing God as I'm talking to you? But it's not only just preachers. If you've got a wife, it's your wife. Painful, that is. Sometimes they're right, fellas. Oftentimes they're right. Wives, do you listen to your husbands? If you haven't got a husband or a wife, you have got other people. That is why we are a church. We are a church because we need one another. We need irritations like Vic sort of prodding you. Do you understand? I need to hear. You need to hear. It's other people. Okay? God uses other people to speak to us. He uses dreams and visions. I don't know whether you've had dreams or visions, but listen, if you have a dream, you need to think about it and think, is God speaking to me about this? If you're having a vision, what is God talking to me about? It's not in the past only, it's for today. People in the East have had visions of Jesus and have then gone and found someone to explain what it is. Dreams and visions. A still small voice. A still small voice. Do you know, most of us are far too busy to listen to God. True? True. Yeah, it's much more important to watch TV than listen to God. It's much more important to guess on the phone. There are all sorts of things that we think, oh, that's much more important than actually finding time to listen to God. Often in prayer meetings, we are far too busy to listen to God. It's a big challenge. I gather that ladies every week have a little time when they listen to God. God loves to hear us talking. But sometimes he thinks, is that Vic ever going to listen? Is he? Do you find time to listen to God? When I was a youngster, when you first became a Christian, they talked about having a quiet time. Nowadays, the expression is a listening room. Do you have a listening room? Do you listen? Do you just quieten down and listen? If you don't, today is a good time to say, I will start listening to God. You want to listen to God. You want to hear him. I'm surprised at how many people say, I have never heard God. Hey, listen. It's not difficult. It's a question of listening. God speaks. Still small voice. He speaks through impressions. Now, I've got a list here, but I haven't got everything. He gives people strong impressions. Someone was talking to me this week and said, Vic, I know why everyone that you pray for isn't healed. And the reason for that is you'd be beheaded. I'd be big-headed. Yeah? And I thought, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry about those people I pray for and are not healed. It's because of my big-headedness. Or possibility of it. Listen. We need to listen to our strong impressions. Someone else was talking to me this week, and they said, do you know, I've been impressed by God not to say so-and-so, not to say something about. And I thought, good. Do you get strong impressions? I must do this. I mustn't do that. Strong impressions. God speaks through the use of tongues. I was reading a book on holiday, and it said, one example of this came from a lady in our church who was having a surgical procedure while she was awake. The surgeon was a Muslim, but was happy for her to have worship music playing throughout. She began to pray in tongues, and the surgeon asked her what it was that she was saying. She explained, and he asked her to speak up so he could hear her. After the surgery, the surgeon confessed that he had been able to understand what she had been saying. You were saying, Lord, you are my sustainer. You will sustain me. It is to you I will return, he said. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful? You don't know. You don't know. You don't know what's happening. God also speaks through nature. And this bit that God was talking to Job about was through nature, wasn't it? It was through. Have you watched things this spring? Do you know, I noticed that my hawthorn hedge, it was 4 days between when there was nothing there at all to when it was in leaf. 4 days. Four warm days in it. Bang, 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 bang. Complete change. Complete change. Do you watch things? Do you know, it's easy just to watch the television. But there are all sorts of things around. Are you watching what God's doing? Are you noticing what God's doing amongst us? Sometimes we only remember what doesn't seem to have happened rather than what has happened. But God is at work. So the first thing I want you to think about is God speaking and you listening. You listening. You deliberately setting time to listen to God. Are you a good listener? The second thing is God reasons. God argues his case to Job. He said, come on, Job, let's just go for a walk. Let's just go for a walk. Now tell me. Tell me, this whole planet, where were you when it came into being? Where were you? Who decided on how big it should be? Who decided how it was going to work? Where were you? Where were you? Listen, just think about this magnificent universe that we are part of. He says to Job, hey, do you look up the stars? You look up at the stars. Can you stop Orion from doing what he wants to do? What about the bear and the cubs? Hey, you've got no idea, Job, you've got no idea how they affect planet Earth. Some of these things we're beginning to understand. But actually, the thing is magnificent. It is great. Listen, we need to stand in awe of our great God. Yeah? Sometimes we just think, ah, nice father. I know, he is that, but he's also a magnificent creator. I'm told there are stars still forming and there are other stars collapsing. Magnificent. God's in charge. It isn't a clockwork thing and this one day the spring's going to run down. God says to Job, you haven't a clue, fella. You haven't a clue. But just hang on a bit. Hey, what about all that snow? You don't even know where it comes from. It comes, it goes. You couldn't even make a snowflake. Come on, Job. Do you not understand? He said, what about the sea? What about the sea? I cradle it. I look after it. There are things that we just cannot even think about, imagine. We went on a big plane when we went on holiday, a big plane, and I thought, the air currents won't knock this thing about. And you get up there, and suddenly the pilot says, put your seat belts back on. And even a big plane, it's dancing around in the air. Listen, we have a magnificent universe. Look at it and worship God. That's what it's there for. The heavens declare the glory of God. Do I hear an amen? Magnificent. Magnificent. The heavens. Just look around and see. Look at how God is changing people. Magnificent. Magnificent. Maybe you need some help changing. Ask God. He changes people. He changes people. So God reasons. He argues with Job. He says, come on, Job. Let's get this in perspective. Job is thinking, God, you owe me an apology. I've gone through all this stuff. God's not going to apologize because he does everything well. He does everything right. And the third thing is God waits. God waits. He waits for Job. He said, okay, Job, what have you got to say for yourself? And of course, the first thing that Job says is, I opened my mouth and I shouldn't have done. I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot. I opened my mouth and I just shouldn't have done. Listen, in the presence of God, we're all some sort of idiot. We may not be quite as stupid, although I may be the exception, as Balaam. Do you remember Balaam in the Old Testament? He was so stupid that God had to get a donkey to talk to him. Amazing, isn't it? You could say that Balaam was such an ass. But God waits. He waits for us. He waits and he waits. Come on, Vic. Come on. I'm waiting. And he waited for Job to then be able to say, I knew a lot about you, but I didn't know you firsthand. I knew so much about you. But actually, now I have seen so much more. Folk, there's lots of evidence. There's lots of evidence. And he's waiting for you and I to say, God. Oh God. I'm not quite as clever as I thought I was. Only you know the right way. Only you know the right way. Do you see? Our God is for us. Each one of us. Even though you may be in full rebellion against him right now. He's still for you. Sometimes, for folk who are sort of rebelling, he has to stick his elbow in quite sharply. But here, God is saying, come on, Job, come on. Are you going to accuse me? Are you going to speak to me and speak of me as you've been doing? See, we need to know our God. We need to know our God, because then we can speak of him to others. And actually, we need to know our God for our own sakes. We need to know him. We need to know him. That man that was on the video, Spafford, the guy who wrote that old hymn, it is well with my soul. I have no idea how I could have coped with the stuff that he went through. Loses his son, loses his possessions, then loses his four daughters. And as he's going past that place where the boat sank, he writes this hymn, "It is well with my soul." Listen, I have no idea. All sorts of people, all sorts. Many of us have been through trouble. Some of you are going through trouble right now. And when I've finished, I want to offer you to pray. We've heard about Eddie going through trouble. All sorts of people going through trouble. So if you're going through difficulties, you're going through trouble, and you don't have to think, ah, oh, it's not as bad as his or hers. But if you're going through trouble and you would love to be prayed for, you are open to be prayed for, we will pray for you. We will pray for you. So here are the three things that I want us to go home with. First of all, God speaks. And the question is, will you make time to listen? Will you make time? If you run prayer meetings, will you make time to listen to God? Will you make time in your private devotions to listen to God? The second thing is that God reasons. God argues his case. He doesn't say, hey, there it is, like it or lump it. He said, come on, let me go through it with you. Will you admire his handiwork? Will you admire his handiwork? It's easy to sort of see someone produce a brand new car and admire the handiwork. Hey, but we've got a bigger maker than that. Will you admire God's handiwork? And the third thing is that God waits. And he waits for us, and he waits for us. Maybe he's just waiting for you to listen. Maybe he's waiting for you to say, okay, I'll stop doing that, and I'll do that. Three things to go away with. Lord Jesus, thank you that you're here. Thank you that you have been listening. Thank you that you have been speaking. to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, you didn't leave planet Earth and leave us as orphans, but you sent the Holy Spirit to be amongst us. Lord God, help us, we pray. Help us, we pray, to take another little step forward in our Christian life. Amen.